As Elsie sang, "How Great Thou Art," I thought to myself, you know, Elsie's in his 80s, and I don't know if he'll ever learn, you know, being that late in life, to finally sing robustly. He was really belting it out during that song. I also noticed that the copyright holder on that is right here in Oregon. You know, down at the bottom of the screen, it had the organization or whatever, and I just thought that was interesting. Well, I kind of left us hanging this morning with John 11. And I'm really sorry I can't give that to you tonight. But Lord willing, I'll finish that up next week. But something else has come up that is very urgent and a presentation that I have to make to the congregation, but I could not do it any later. In fact, I should have been giving this to you a couple of months ago. And that'll become more obvious to you why a little bit later. More than dinosaurs, man, Peru, and prayer, more than those first three, this sermon time is actually about prayer. But I do have something else to say on those first three items that I mentioned. And I do want to talk about that tonight, and as you can see, there's a little outline there of this satellite image of the nation of Peru. This is Peru right here. Ecuador, Brazil, Bolivia, and so on. But somehow, I want us to notice tonight, dinosaurs, man, the nation of Peru, and prayer being very connected with each other. And this is going to be an emotional sermon for me just because it's something that's very personal. But I hope that you can focus in on the information that I am giving to you. And also, in case you're just not quite sure about that satellite image, here's a greater look at where Peru is. You know, here we got a map of the whole world, South America, and then there's again the nation of Peru. In my personal beliefs, I went from theistic evolution to creation. Although I was taught evolution in school from the earliest ages and was fascinated by it, I always knew that there was a God. It was just far too obvious to me. But I believed that he used evolution. Then in 1976, I was converted after having, you know, of course, studied the Bible and been reading it, and I've been reading it ever since then. But I also have been looking at God's creation. I believe this earth that we're all upon right now is just as much a creation of God as the Bible is. That being true, it would seem to me then like whatever is in this book is going to correspond with whatever's on this earth. And whatever's on this earth is going to correspond with whatever's in this book. Although we look through the lens of the Scripture rather than through the lens of creation to interpret Scripture. So as I looked at Scripture, because it is a direct revelation of God, you know, he said, here's how I did everything. So I went from theistic evolution to creation. And then once I was settled on creation, I started thinking, well, what does that do to dinosaurs? You know, dinosaurs are always put in the picture about the ending of the dinosaurs, about 65 million years before the arrival of man. And I thought to myself, well, that's just not what I see in Scripture. And I believe Scripture. What does the world tell me? I don't mean the world, the worldlings, but I mean the earth and her history and everything else about her. What does it say about this issue, or does it at all? And I believe that it does. So, if I understand the Bible correctly, I have to understand that man and dinosaurs our contemporaries, or at least they were at one time. So I'd like to, I know the lighting's decreased for you a little bit in here, and we're not going to be looking at too many scriptures tonight, but if you're able, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1, or I'll just read it to you right now. In Genesis 1, after God had already gone through the first 5 days of creation, Moses then said this, starting at verse 24, and that should be, I didn't realize I put 48, that should be 24 through 28. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creature, the living creature, according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, and it's still the sixth day, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the earth." And as you continue reading down through verse 31, you'll notice at the very end it says, "So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So, land animals and man create on the same day. The land animals would include what we call the dinosaurs. And I also believe that these days were not representative of billions or millions or thousands or hundreds of years, but just a day. As we know, when God said here a day, he meant a 24-hour day. And we can get into that at some other time if you're unsure about that. And I believe that there's some references in the Bible to what sure seem like dinosaur-like creatures. For example, Job chapters 40 and 41. While the margin of your Bible will probably say it's the elephant or hippopotamus and the crocodile, the way it's described there, it just doesn't fit those creatures. For example, Behemoth is said to have a tail like a cedar. And if you've ever seen a tail on a elephant, it kind of looks like my hand right here dangling behind, and I wouldn't call my hand a cedar. And that's just one among many things. All right, so I had the scriptures, and I'm seeing what the Bible is saying, that somehow man in the past lived with dinosaurs. He had to have seen and interacted with dinosaurs. That's the whole point of Job chapters 40 and 41. Is that somehow man interacted with dinosaurs. So I went from, again, the belief in them being contemporaries to looking at the evidence and considering, is there any evidence? And brethren, I cannot believe how much evidence, extra-biblical evidence there is to sometimes hint and sometimes to be very direct that man and dinosaurs have lived on the earth at the same time. And the information on this, the evidence on this, is coming up more and more all the time. More than it was 10 years ago, and especially 20 years ago. Even since I've been working here for 5.5 years, there's been more and more evidence coming out, and more people are speaking on this subject. For example, there's ancient literature. ancient literature seems to mention dinosaur-like creatures quite a bit. There's also fossil tracks that we have found, such as these here in the Paluxy Riverbed in Texas, where going across this way are the tracks of a dinosaur, and then coming this way are the tracks of a man, and he's been walking in those steps just to show what it's like. And the direction the man was walking in, question is, was the dinosaur stalking the man, or was the man going to hunt the dinosaur? Did they just happen to cross the same muddy path, didn't see each other, maybe a couple minutes pass by or whatever. But there's also ancient artwork. And this is what has really fascinated me more than anything else, and that I've been trying to do some work in. My own personal collection, I've just been getting copies of books constantly. There's a man that I want to tell you about a little bit later who gave me this book here about some figurines, I guess they'd be called, that he has dug up in Mexico that have been absolutely fascinating. And I've just been getting a ton of books on this subject. I read this book, The Great Alaskan Dinosaur Adventure, where they have found dinosaur bones that are not fully hardened into stone, interestingly. Still other books, Scientific Evidence That Dinosaurs and Men Walked Together, Genesis and the Dinosaur, The Amazing Story of the Rise and Fall of the Dinosaur on a Young Created Earth, The Great Dinosaur Mystery in the Bible, which is really a children's book, but I get my hands on anything I can. It's just a fascinating book. And some of these books are not necessarily put out by creationists who are coming from my standpoint, but there's people out in the world who are saying, you know what? There's something about the stories in ancient literature, and there's something about their artwork that makes us think they must have had some kind of experience with dinosaurs. And by the way, all this work and references that you see to dragons, even the evolutionists are saying, we are baffled as to how it is that dragons seem to resemble dinosaurs so much. I've seen where some creationists have taken a picture of a dragon that you found in ancient literature and compare it to a picture of what we believe a dinosaur looked like, and it looks like they're both looking at the same creature. And do you know how the evolutionists explain that, especially Carl Sagan when he was alive? Our ancestors, which would mean something like perhaps the amphibian, because they say mammals were not alive during the time of the dinosaurs, were so frightened by the appearance of a dinosaur that the memory got planted in them, and over the millions, multiplied millions of years, the memory of these dinosaurs was kept, you know, through every generation's memory, and finally men started drawing pictures of them. That's the explanation they give as to how dragons somehow look like dinosaurs. Still another book that I've collected that is not from a creationist standpoint, but they're just talking about what is it about these ancient creatures. The Book of the Dragon, again, another non-creationist book. Here's another one, The Hill of the Dragon. Obviously, that one's of a creationist bent. I've heard this man speak personally, Dwayne Gish, up in the Portland area. And also, I've just been collecting tons of articles. I mean, I've got a couple file folders here just full of articles. Not, and by the way, the art books I've just shown you are stacked right here. And the articles I'm collecting are not just anything on dinosaurs, but on the dinosaur-man connection, or the alleged connection between dinosaurs and birds, which I find to be rather comical, I'll be honest with you. I was flying one time, and I pulled out the magazine that's in the seat in front of you, pulled it out, just reading through, you know, usually they're telling you about some beautiful place to visit. And then here's an article by Robert Bacher. If you've ever seen the movie Jurassic Park, the Sam Neill character, I can't think of what the character's name is, he is patterned after Robert Bacher, who is just one of the world's leading paleontologists when it comes to dinosaurs. And he says this, he believes that dinosaurs turn into birds, and he says that whenever you see the geese flying south, you should actually be saying the dinosaurs are flying south for the wintertime. And so I've got a lot of articles. In fact, on our back table right now, the most recent issue of Reason and Revelation, which is up on the screen right now, Physical Evidence for the Coexistence of Dinosaurs and Humans, Part 1. And that's not the first article of that nature they've put out in the past year. They've put out several. And this is becoming a hotter and hotter topic all the time. So, I went from secondhand evidence, or I want to go from secondhand evidence to firsthand evidence. You know, here we can only go so far with the Scriptures. I mean, I can't just speak to God directly and He talked to me and say, this is what I want you to write down. But the things are on the earth. We can read and do things like that. But to be able to go someplace and to investigate this stuff, now that is a different thing. Now, I want to talk to you about prayer for a moment. This will be the part that will be hard for me, okay? Because I've had a personal struggle over this, so I'm going to try and keep my head on straight. But I said this is a lesson on prayer, and that's really what I want it to be for you. Please turn to Luke 18 if you're able to see in the semi-lighted conditions. And listen to what Jesus said, especially the way he introduced the parable. And he said this, or Luke wrote, first of all, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.'" This lady's bugging me to death. "Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said.'" In other words, he didn't care for the woman. But now he's going to show you about someone who's a very caring judge. "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And the thing that gets me is verse 1. And when I just read verse 8, I thought, well, that question that he asked at the end is for me too. Because I did lose heart. And I guess you could say I kind of lost faith on something that I was praying about. In fact, I stopped quite a while back, collecting articles and books, all kinds of different subjects relating to the dinosaur man connection. I mean, even when I was in Russia, you hear me talk about Russia all the time, and I hope you don't get tired of hearing me mention that, but even when I went to Russia and I was in Red Square, I found a book about the churches that are there in Red Square and about the czars and all that kind of stuff. And when I opened it up, I thought, look at this artwork right here in the former hotbed of atheism and evolution is evidence showing a connection between man and dinosaurs. And I couldn't find that book today. It's got to be someplace, either here or in my home. And I wanted to show you pictures from it, but I'll do that in a future sermon. And I had on my prayer list, which I've told you before, I carry in the back of my Bible here. All your names are on it and tons of other things. Well, also on the back of that prayer list was my request to God. I don't know how many times you heard me ask about it. That I would somehow be involved in work, making a connection between man and dinosaurs. That I wanted to do firsthand work instead of just hearing from others. And you know what? At the end of last year, I looked at my list and I thought, this isn't ever going to happen. Because I've been praying for it for about 10 years. And I thought, well, it's just not going to happen. I've been doing this for 10 years. And so I took it off my prayer list. Okay, I mentioned all those things. Well, in the meantime, two things happen. First, my daughter told us that we're going to have our first grandchild. So neat the way she and Carl did it. Gave us a card, and we opened it out, fell out a kidney bean. And right away, I knew what it was. I knew she was telling us, that's the size of our grandbaby right now. Even though I didn't know she was pregnant, I just somehow knew what was going on. And then she told me the date, the due date, May 19th. Second, I received an unexpected phone call from the man you see on the screen, Dennis Swift. And he had left a message on the church answer machine, and so I called him back and couldn't believe my ears. I first learned of Dennis, who's a leading expert, as far as the world's concerned, on man and dinosaurs as contemporaries. But I first heard of him, I subscribed to this magazine, it's actually called Answers Magazine now, but when I got this particular issue in the mail, and up here it says March, May, so it comes out every 3 months, 1997. And I saw on the cover, Dinosaurs with Man, fascinating new evidence. And I'm flipping through that and I'm looking for it. And this article began, of course it's on a spread, and so this is what's on the right hand side. And it's talking about what are known as the Inca stones or Ica stones, because they come from the region of Ica in Peru. And on these stones are carved, what you can see in this case, a Triceratops, and in this case, a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And there's just thousands of these stones. And they have all kinds of stuff on them. Men looking through telescopes, the stars, performing ancient brain surgery, and all kinds of things along those lines. And I wanted to know more about this. To me, this was just the most fascinating thing I had ever seen before. So when I had my kidney transplant in 1998, I got a hold of this dentist because I discovered he lives right here in Beaverton, Oregon. And I thought, I got to go see this guy. And I did. And I went to his office. And that's one of the stones he's holding right there in his hand. He'd be a lovely model, wouldn't he? With his eyebrows pointing up this way and down this way and a lovely smile. But anyways, he showed me a slide presentation and we talked for a long... He just gave me tons of time. And I was very impressed with that. And I told him that if you ever go to Peru again, I want to go. In fact, I sounded like Nathan. Now, you all don't know this, but in early 2002, for some reason, I'm still working in Klamath Falls, and I called the church over here. And somehow, and Nathan answered the phone, and somehow in the conversation, I mentioned that I was going to Belfast, Northern Ireland. I want to go! I thought, who is this guy? I've never seen him before. He sounded like a little kid. Oh, I want to go! Can I talk to my mommy about it first? And I was just like, man, okay, whatever. And I don't even remember what I called about Nathan. And went on that, maybe I talked to someone else who was here or something. But I realized I was that way with Dennis Swift. I want to go. And so I started attending creation conferences that he holds up there. In fact, I've even been to some since I've been working here with all of you. And, that's the book that he's published, which I've also got a copy of that up here in case you want to look at it. And also, I told Brother Brad Harab about him when he was here. And of course, Brad knows all about these Inca stones. And he says, hey, can you get me connected with Dennis? Because I'd like to interview him for Think Magazine. And sure enough, those of you who get it, the December 2007 issue, that's the cover of it, he managed to get an interview with Dr. Dennis Swift. But anyways, when I returned Dennis's phone call from earlier this year, as we talked about the trip, I finally asked him when the trip was planned and, what was going on. He sent me an exciting itinerary and the dates of May 19 through 29. I checked my calendar and those dates were open. And sometime later, I must have been talking with Tracy when I think I must have asked her the due date again. And I thought the date sounded familiar. So, I checked, and sure enough, the dates were the same. The day I'm supposed to leave is the date when the baby's supposed to be born. Now, I realize that, Lord willing, I'll have tons of years with my little granddaughter afterwards. And so forth and so on. But, this is the first one. And I just want to be here to hold her, to stare at her, all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping the baby's born a little early rather than late. If it's going to be, Tracy may not like this, but if it's really late, then it'll be really late, like May 30th or something. But She'll probably punch me in the arm afterwards for even suggesting that at all. But my heart sunk. And I felt awful. And I agonized over this, brethren, for weeks. I've been agonizing over it. And really, I think it's been for a couple of months. And finally, last weekend, I think it was, I just made the decision. And hope that the Lord would bless me in that. I said that this was a lesson on prayer. And I think that God has taught me something. I've taught you. And I've taught the two other congregations that I've worked with, you know, to pray always, pray without ceasing. And then on this issue, I gave up. And so God knows how much I love children. You all know that Carrie and I just love children, and most little children love us. Here's always those shy ones or ones who just don't like to be around people, but we just love and adore children. And so to be with our first grandchild when she's born is just something that I don't want to pass up. But I wondered, you know, if God's teaching me, Don, you know what Luke 18 says. You know what Jesus taught. Why did you stop praying? So I wouldn't be surprised if the baby's born while I'm gone. And if so, that's God's will. And I probably won't have my mind then on what I'm doing in Peru. But I ask you to pray for me, not that I would forget my grandchild, but that I definitely make good use of my time when I am down there. Excuse me. I would like to pass out to you the itinerary of this trip. And let me see, Earl and Rich, would you mind passing those out too? I don't know that I have enough for every person, but at least for every couple. I'm not sure how many. I made 60, so I'm not really sure how many people are here tonight. And while they're passing that out, I want to start reading this to you, and then you can catch up. It talks about joining Dennis Swift on a tour of Peru that includes startling evidence that dinosaurs and men lived together. Ica stones, advanced technology of ancient man, the Nazca lines, megalithic monuments, Machu Picchu, I think that is, and I do have some pictures of those things here. I don't know if any of you have heard about these lines before that are on the driest place on earth along the coast of Peru. But these things are huge. Like, this is the spider lines. And some of these are 900 feet long. And they've wondered, what are these things all about? And I believe there's supposed to be one of a dinosaur also. And also, you've probably seen pictures of this place here. I'll just give you a slow look at that. And I've seen this quite often. You know, this is where the ancient Incas used to live. And it says, dear friends, soon you will be enjoying the splendors of Peru as you soar in the sky to the secret continent of South America. Imagine stepping back in time and exploring the mystical city of Machu Picchu in the Andes, land of the Incas. Visiting the magnificent ruins of, I can't even say those names there, and marveling at these megalithic ruins that defy evolution. Can you see yourself in Lima, settled by the Spanish conquistadors, going to the museums to see countless hundreds of thousands of pre-Columbian artifacts, many that evolutionists say shouldn't even exist? Step into the National Aeronautical Museum and see stones with dinosaurs engraved on them. Yes, stones carved of dinosaurs and man. Travel along the Peruvian Pacific seacoast to the enchanting city of Ica, founded in 1570, and home of the Cabrera Museum. The museum is no longer open to the public, but we will have a private opening. Here you will see over 11,000 Ica stones, dinosaurs, dinosaurs and man, depictions of surgeries, and the use of telescopes, all destroying evolutionary theory. We will visit Nazca, the driest desert on the planet. See the Nazca lines from the ground and the air. Maria Ricci said of the Nazca lines, "I did not imagine then that it would be near the coast that the most important monument in Peru and perhaps of the world would be found. Journey across the desert to see tombs and mummies 2,000 years old." And then, of course, you can see on the next page there what the travel itinerary is, and I won't read all of that to you. And then on the third page is the cost. And because of my delay in making a decision, I need finances fast. If you look in here, you'll notice that I'm already late. They already needed a deposit of $300 on March 1st, a payment of $1,000 on March 15th, and April 15th, which is just in a couple days from now, is really the balance of $1,500 to $1,600. So my goal is to raise $3,000, because all the things that he lists there does not include everything. You'll see right at the top of that page where it says cost, and you'll notice it doesn't include everything. It even kind of hints at that. So I want to make sure that I have enough money for that sort of thing. Now, evidence is no good, at least in the work that I'm in, if you don't use it to preach and teach, telling others what you know. In the past, although not here yet, I have given sermons on the dinosaur man connection. And I want to get that material here, but also new material that I'll hopefully get to uncover, plus the evidence that I gain in Peru. And I want to go to Peru to gain more evidence firsthand. And of course, again, I'll use this for further preaching and teaching, both public and private. And you'll also notice in that itinerary that he talks about where we'll actually be doing some investigation work, which is what I want to do. I don't want to be going there as a tourist. I want to work. I want to investigate. I want to find something. I want to do what I can to give further extra biblical proof to what I believe the Bible very strongly says, that men and dinosaurs had to have been contemporaries from the very beginning. Do you have something that is a righteous concern on your heart? I mean, is it a scriptural thing? Can you look to the Bible and say, here's a burden in my heart, and I'm praying to God about it, and I can support it with scripture? It's something that God has revealed in His Word that I can pray for. There's also what we might call God's unrevealed will. You know, what is it that God wants me to do this year in detail? Well, you know, that's not necessarily revealed in Scripture, so I pray about those things all the time, and you should be. Don't cease to pray. Always pray. Use my bad example of what not to do. And if you have something that's heavy on your heart, don't give up, brethren. Don't give up if you believe it's within God's will. Even if it takes a long time, 10 years or more. If you think it's within God's will, don't give up. Keep praying. If you want to help me with this trip, and I'm leaving in about 5 weeks, May 19th is a Monday, but we'll be leaving Portland, Oregon in the morning, so I might miss part of the day on Sunday, May 18th. So I don't really have much time. If you want to help, you can write a check to the church. Please don't write it to me. Write it to the church, and you can just put on it, Don Rules a Peru Trip. Before I go any further and offer the invitation, I want to ask if anyone has any questions that you'd like to ask. Well, I guess that's good. That means I must have covered everything and covered any questions that you may have had. So, the last thing that I would like to say to you is, if you need our help tonight, I know really when it came down to it, I was telling you tonight, I need your help. I need your help financially, and of course I need your help when it comes to prayer. But if we can be here for you tonight now, if we can pray for you or counsel with you or minister to you as a brother or a sister or as brothers and sisters, we want to do that. Can we help you tonight? If so, come forward now as we stand and sing.